Today's guest, Cody Schneider, went through the exact playbook for 6 startup ideas and how to grow them to $60,000 a month MRR. And he didn't just give the startup ideas. He goes through the exact trend. He goes through the acquisition strategy. He tells you about all these AI tools and software tools that you can actually use to go and build this. And so this isn't just, here's a few ideas, go and build them. This is, here's a playbook for how you'd actually go and build this to get to something like 10, 20, 40, 60, 80K MRR. Cody Schneider on the pod. He delivers. Enjoy it and let me know what you think. Cody, if people stick to the end of this episode, what are they going to learn?
I promise you, you won't fall into the tar pit that is AI automation agencies. And I'm going to instead convince you why you shouldn't do that. And you should make a productized service that uses AI automation to deliver a deliverable on like a monthly cadence or whatever that is. I mean, why that productized service is a way better business than the AI automation agency.
Okay, so you're basically saying all the people that are pitching these AI automation agencies, disregard them. There's actually a way bigger opportunity with productized services. And you're going to show us how someone could go and create one, maybe some ideas on, you know, ones that they can steal. And how much money do you think people can make using some of these ideas?
Dude, you can easily make like 40 to 80 grand a month and like get to that like within 6 months. I zero doubt that that's possible with this stuff. And also these businesses, like, it's just a better business than AI automation agencies. So is like, can we just break that down first? Like why that's it? So I know so many, I've had so many friends that have started these like AI automation companies, and like every one of them, they last like 12 to 18 months and then they hard pivot into some productized service. And the reason for that is that the business composition or the biology of the business for an automation agency is just really hard. Like you have to be really good at getting like top of funnel leads. You have to be really good at sales because it's like typically kind of higher ticket. So it's like you're having to like go through that traditional sales motion. And then the revenue is one time, right? Like it's not like it's a recurring purchase. Like you do, it's project based. And so it's just it's a hard business to build and scale. And so I think that that is like the biggest thing to think about with this is like, it's just it's a bad business to build if you want to create something that has scalability, that has recurring revenue. And a lot of these, like if you're building an internet business, that's the whole point of it. Like you're looking for the ability to be wherever you want to like run your company from, right? So it's remote. And then also something that has recurring revenue that's happening month over month. So you're not fighting, you know, tooth and nail to get, make sure that you have enough lead volume, you know, to pay your staff or pay your team or just even pay yourself. And so anyway, yeah, I'm happy to answer any questions on that or dive deeper on any of those things. But
no, I say like, let's just get into it. The promise that you need to make to people listening to this though, is that you're not just going to give ideas. You're going to actually give, okay, here's how I would build this.
100%. I'm going to run through all that. I got like 6 of them for you. So let's just jump into the first one. So the first one that I think is a huge opportunity is med spa marketing. So med spas are this category that I had no idea how profitable they are. Like they average per location 1.4 million to like 2 million per location in revenue. The customer lifetime value of one of these people, if you can like convert them, is like 6 grand, right? So crazy, crazy like good revenue if you can basically help them get these customers into the business. So what I would do and kind of my focus or how I'd go about this is I'd focus just on 2 things. It looks like all of the purchasing decisions that people are making are coming from basically paid ads on social, Instagram and Facebook and maybe TikTok, and then local SEO. So how I would go about the service that you're basically providing is going to be creating like Facebook ad content, running those ads for them, et cetera. And then you do reporting based off of the leads that you're providing them, the new revenue that you're providing them. That's how you validate that you're actually, you know, like worth the money that they're paying you. And so so basically running those Facebook ads and then doing Google ads Google Maps optimization. This is how this is the service that you'd be offering these people is basically.
Sam Altman, the co-founder of OpenAI, just said that it is the era of the idea guy, and he is not wrong. I think that right now is an incredible time to be building a startup. And if you listen to this podcast, chances are you think so too. Now, I think that you can look at trends to basically figure out what are the startup ideas you should be building. So that's exactly why I built ideabrowser.com. Every single day, you're going to get a free startup idea in your inbox, and it's all backed by high quality data trends. How we do it, people always ask. We use AI agents to go and search, what are people looking for and what are they screaming for in terms of products that you should be building? And then we hand it on a, you know, silver platter for you to go check out. We do have a few paid plans that, you know, take it to the next level, give you more ideas, give you more AI agents and more almost like a ChatGPT for ideas with it. But you can start for free, ideabrowser.com. And if you're listening to this, I highly recommend it.
Creating those deliverables for the Facebook ads, for the paid ad side, and then also doing the Google Maps listing optimization. So on the Facebook ads, what I would do is say, hey, we're going to make you 10 pieces of new creative per month. You're going to use ChatGPT API to make static images. You'll use HeyGen or ArcAds to make the dynamic images, or sorry, the videos. And then what I would do to do like the research for these this creative is use Perplexity to go and scrape Reddit and other social media for the problem benefits like solution that the services that these med spas are offering. Like why would people basically do whatever the med spa service is offer that they're trying to promote? And so when you use like all of this can be automated, right? Like the scraping for the research, the writing of the ad scripts, the writing, like the description of the ads that you're trying to create through the static image API. That's where the AI automation piece comes in, where it's like you don't need to hire a graphic designer. You don't need to hire a video editor. Like all of these things can basically be handled by a lot of these AI tooling, And then the other piece of this is then optimizing Google Maps. So if you go and you search on Google right now for like med spa, right? Any location. First thing that comes up, huge Google Map listing, right? And the reason for this is a local like search. Like Google has categorized this as a local search. And so it is super valuable if you can show up in the top three of this map pack. The only thing that you need to do to be able to show up there is basically optimize the profile. There's tons of videos on YouTube talking about this optimization. The thing that we found to be most important is getting reviews, making sure the keywords are in that listing, and then also having images of the physical location in that listing as well. But if you do those three things and then combine that with building directory listings. So these are basically making whatever the name of the business, the location, the address, phone number, any of this contact information. You go and you'll submit these to all of these different websites like Foursquare, any of these like old map websites. And the reason that this works is Google uses this as a metric to validate that this is like a real listing, a real company. And so to do this, you can use one of friends of the show's companies. It's called localrank.so, I believe.
Yeah.
And basically what you do, one click and it submits to all of these like different directory listings. So that's kind of the service offering. I would charge something in the range of like $2,000 to $3,000 per month. And then how you actually go and get customers for this is all of their information is public, right? Like their contact information, their website information. They're probably going to be spending most of their time on Instagram and probably via email or phone. So it just turns into a process of reaching out to those businesses or running ads to them on Facebook. This is probably another strategy. You can target people who basically work at med spas on Facebook. Run ads showing case studies, send them to a lead magnet to download some free PDF talking through literally your exact service offering. Like, here's how to do this. And then what's going to happen naturally is people are going to download that. They're going to give you their email. They're give you their phone number. And they're going to realize, oh, this is actually a lot, like a major pain in the ass to do this. I don't want to spend my time doing this. I'm going to go hire this company. The other acquisition channel would be doing YouTube videos, talking through the case studies, name the video something like, I grew this med spa, you know, by X revenue from Facebook ads, or, you know, I grew this med spa by, all right, I got a, you know, 100 leads from Google Maps for this med spa. Here's how I did it. Something like that. Literally just talk your book, and that's going to create the lead volume that you're looking for this agency. And then the last thing that you're wanting to do is figure out some type of reporting that you can do to your clients, so that it shows them basically the like outcomes that you're promising that you're going to get. I would try to attach that to the thing that's closest to revenue, which is going to be leads for them. And you can use like something like Looker Studio, or a company that we just like launched this week, which is graft.com. Graft is basically like a chat with data to build dashboard solutions. So something like that, to basically have a dashboard that you can share with them, where it's like, hey, we did this work and look, it's actually working. We can show you that it's actually working. So
what are your thoughts on faceless video to drive traffic? Like, should people
do it? Works,
that?
Man. My friends in the wine industry in the Central Coast of California, go to Rustique Wines if you want like a crazy experience. They have this old barn and it's awesome. It's right up against the Santa Lucia Highlands. Like outside of Monterey, California. But we've been running these ads where they're like, basically like, it's like faceless. It's just a monologue talking over like videos from social of people like being at the wine, at the winery there, like in the tasting room, in the vineyards, like in the hills, et cetera. And they're just absolutely ripping, because it feels like natural, organic content. So I think this could totally work for you. Like, you don't even have to use AI avatars, right?
Have you seen Real Farm?
Yes, I have. They do like where it's like it's almost like a templated format, right? It's similar to what Jack Fricks is doing. Yeah.
Pull it up. Realfarm.ai. I haven't used this product, so I'm not sure. But the founder has a video of like how it works right here, so we can just like kind of look at it. So it looks like, yeah, you select the images.
It's basically, you know, text overlay, image, like content, right? And then exactly. I know he does, it's like the slideable, I don't know what those are called now on TikTok, where you like slide to the right. It's like a slideshow. I think that's actually what the name of it is.
Exactly.
But I saw something
right now on TikTok.
I believe it.
It's also ripping on Instagram. Dude, I had an Instagram post get 195,000 likes.
That's insane. What did it say?
It was just a static image of a tweet with audio. And so I think that, you know, this whole idea around like, take static images, put a voice on top of it, throw it on Instagram, throw it on TikTok. Of course, whatever it is you're saying needs to be outstanding. Like, you know, for 95%, 97% of people using tools like Real Farm, they're probably not going to crush it. But if you know how to tell stories and you tell interesting stories, yes, of course, it's going to be valuable to get traffic to whatever it is you're doing.
100%. I think this is a part of the offering that you have, right? It's like you're keeping a pulse on like what's working currently. And that's why they're paying you, is to understand the formats that are most likely to succeed. Like, a format that worked 6 months ago isn't going to work now. You have to like keep, you know, refreshing the content and the formats that you're doing for your ads, just like you would do for organic. And so like, that's another value add, is like, they don't have to think about that. They're offloading that to you. And because you're working with multiple clients, you're going to see, oh, like this type of content works really well for med spas. I'm just doing it in different locations around the US.
Right. Cool. What's the next idea?
Awesome. So the next one on the list is Facebook ads for beauty e-commerce brands. And the reason why you should do this is they need to like constantly make new ad creative, because it gets stale really quickly, right? They're running a ridiculous amount of, you know, basically just ad spend through these accounts. And so what you see is that the creative really quickly, a lot, you know, people will see that same ad too many times, and then it loses the effect that it had when they initially launched that. So that's a component of this. Also, this is like business critical for these businesses, right? You can see here, like, e-commerce ads agencies, like really quickly growing category, like very high value to create a brand within this. And how I would do this, again, using this AI automation tooling. So again, use some type of research agent. You can build these. There's so many builds of this on like YouTube, talking through N8N flows of like, here's how to use this AI agent to like research, you know, a brand pain or sorry, a product pain points, like how the product can be a case for this, scraping reviews, like aggregating all of that and then pulling out the best like hooks, right, for the creative that you're making, doing that competitor analysis. And then I would use something like a make UGC.ai. Do you know this company yet, Craig?
No, I don't.
They are one of these ad creative like makers, but their whole differentiator is that they the person in the video can hold the product. And so why this is like way more valuable to this is them here, right? So it's like trained on the actual product that you're trying to sell. And why this is way more valuable to these beauty brands is a lot of the times they need them to like hold the product and then talk through, you know, what the product does or like their experience with it, right? So I would use something like this to actually make the creative of them holding the product. And then same kind of structure, you know, have some type of deliverable where it's like, we'll give you 20 ads a month, right? And then you're also analyzing the best performers, remixing those, and looking at competitor analysis. So to get these clients and sell this to, you know, service, same strategy. Basically, go to YouTube, right? Do your case studies like in public. Show the process of you actually doing it. Again, this is like going to be hard for a lot of people to go and mimic. Like, show the breakdown of how you're using this agent to do research, etc. People are going to watch that content. You're going to get naturally inbound leads from that. And then the other side is you can probably post on LinkedIn and Twitter, just doing breakdowns of like different ad types, different formulas that you're seeing work, different formats, et cetera. And then have a call to action basically to do a discovery call with you or some type of lead magnet. So that's your whole kind of strategy around this business. And then again, I would charge like $3,000 to $5,000 a month for this, if not more. I know there's some agencies that are UGC agencies that are traditional. They're using real humans and they're charging so much money for this, like basically the creative development and, you know, $6,000 for 5 videos. It's insane. So if you can come where it's a lower price point, even more creative, and this is really the game anymore, right? Is having more creative variations that you're testing on a faster cadence and then doing broad targeting to Facebook or to Twitter or TikTok ads, et cetera, because like their algorithms are way better at finding what's going to get you the best ROAS. So your job should only be like focused on that that content or that that ad production process. So
what do you think about creating a directory of ads? Like, is there too much competition there? Like, is that on your radar? How do you think about that?
I've seen so many companies doing this, and there's like, I mean, I've seen like 4 startups get funded for doing this in the last, like, I feel like 6 months, right? That are scraping app libraries, like you put in your competitors and they aggregate all of it and they tell you the insights. I think that it works, but you're just looking only at your competitors. Like, you're living within this like, you know, ancestral ecosystem where everybody's copying each other. And so it doesn't allow you to create, you know, any pattern disruption within your ads. What's going to be way more effective is like you go and you scrape a Reddit forum and you find this random quote, you know, about acne cream, and like somebody describes it in this funny way or a different way. And like you extract that using Claude and you're like, oh my God, like that's the hook, right? And then you run that. That's going to create a totally different way or a different piece of content than what your other competitors. I might look at the formats that my other competitors are using, like, oh, we're seeing that like selfie videos are working, or we're seeing that static ads are working. So that format stays the same. But I think that like the source content, if you just use the same language that all your competitors are using, you're not going to have that ad differentiation. So it's going to be way harder to stick out. Like, you know, think about how many ads somebody sees when they're scrolling Instagram, right? Like you have to have creative that feels unique for that category.
And what about from like a traffic acquisition standpoint? Like, what about if you're trying to create this agency, a lot of people create online directories to get SEO traffic, and then you can convert that to agency leads. What about that?
Dude, I mean, you're running this playbook, so you can probably answer it better than I can, but 100% that works. Yeah. What I would probably do is like do like tweets and also LinkedIn posts that are like, I scraped 100 ads from beauty brands. I'll give you access to this library of them. Comment, you know, ads below to get access. And then it creates like that. It's what's working right now on LinkedIn, right? It's basically like that whole some type of asset, comment to get it. And then you go, it creates that engagement flywheel for it. 100% that would work. I don't even know if you'd have to make it a product, though. I think you could just make it like it's a digital download, or they give you their email and then you send them a Google Drive link, right? So
yeah. I think like here's a bit of the sauce if you're gonna go and do this. Two pieces of sauce actually. One is yes, there's a lot of online directories for ads creative, but they're not verticalized. So and now with AI, it's easy to create like hyper niche verticalized. Like beauty even might be too horizontal. Like you can even go deeper and just be like, these are the most interesting ads for skincare.
Men's skincare that have eczema, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You could go that specific. And I think that there's totally an opportunity. And the last thing before we move on with this one, like I think there's two ways to structure this type of business. Like it could just be deliverables, or it could be like, we also run the ads for you. And it's probably a more valuable agency if you're running the ads because you're closer to revenue, right? Like if you show that, hey, our ads that we make are getting 5x ROAS versus the stuff that this, you know, somebody else is making, which is only getting 3x, you're gonna have a way like higher stickiness. And to do that effectively, again, just have reporting that's set up, right? Like there's so many of these tools. I'm gonna keep shilling Graft because I want you to use it. There's so many different ways that you can basically validate the work that you're doing. But the closer you are to revenue, the easier it is to validate that work.
Beautiful. All right, idea number three.
Okay, cool. So social media management for nutrition coaches. I'm obsessed with nutrition coaches and like health coaches right now. I think that anything that it was a coach is suddenly like disruptable by AI first off. So that's why I'm like deep in this. But again, I had no idea how much money these people make and like how many clients they serve. So like the customer lifetime value is relatively small, right? So it's like maybe we'll say $1,000, but they'll service like 100 people a month, right? With their nutrition coaching. It's crazy to me. And this strategy, the thing that I think is the opportunity is doing organic social media management. Because the CLV is smaller, you need to have some type of organic strategy. This is the new searches for nutrition coaches month over month for the last couple of years. So it's this growing category. People are looking for this. And I think the angle that you could go from is basically you make images of food that are like recipes, right? You see people doing this on Pinterest right now, or they like have AI generate food. And then they like basically send them to recipe blogs that are written by it. So like really hard to compete in this category on Google. Pinterest, you can actually compete really effectively in it. But I think you could do this for Instagram accounts and then like tell client stories related to those photos that you're doing. And then the deliverables, what this ends up being is a post per day. And then you basically, the measurements of success is the impressions and then the leads. I would drive them to some type of lead magnet, like, you know, 100-day, recipe ebook, right? And then get their email, you put them into a drip nurture, like have it be the classic thing. But I think it's something like this, you could probably charge like $2,000 a month for it. And the acquisition strategy is really similar to the ones that we've been talking about. But I think the difference is you would do cold DMs to these nutrition coaches on Instagram. That's where I'm seeing kind of like this whole ecosystem live. And then also, again, running that, you can target nutrition coaches on Facebook with Facebook ads. You could do that same thing to some type of like educational YouTube video that's email gated. And then also do YouTube content where it's like, this is how I grew a client's, you know, social account. And here's how many leads we got. Again, try to get as close to revenue as possible with whatever it is that you're doing. So,
and how big could this get?
I think this could be like, I mean, as a solo person, like imagine you have 10 accounts that you're managing. I don't think that's unreasonable. Like if you're doing a post a day across social and you just use something like a meetassembly.com, which is like a social media scheduling app that allows for you to basically get an okay from your client. It's like a, you know, they have a client facing portal to okay the schedule.
Can you open that up?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's my friend's company. Yeah. They're awesome. Basically, how it works, I can jump in here and show you.
Oh, yeah.
What this ends up being. So basically, how this works is you can have a bunch of your social accounts connected to a single portal. But what's really powerful is you can have this approval section where your client can just go in and basically approve each of the posts. And so this, you can go and schedule these out within Assembly and then have the final, like, you know, approval process be handed off to them. They approve it. Those get scheduled out. And so this is a great tool to basically do this. You could run your entire business on top of this, basically. So for this offer. But yeah, questions around that?
No, I like it.
Awesome. Should we keep going?
Keep it going. Number four.
Cool. This one is close to my heart. I just know a lot about this. So I think there's a massive opportunity. But making link magnets for webinars, I think, is a massive opportunity. So when you look at B2B, it's insane numbers. It's like over half of B2B marketers say that they hosted a webinar in the last year. And then that it's like consistently a part of their marketing process. But for a lot of webinars, there's like the biggest problems are getting people to actually show up to the webinars, getting people to register. And then like once the webinar is recorded, what do you do with that? Like, how do you get people to consume that content? How do you resurrect that content? And I think link magnets are a great way to do this. So it's basically taking those webinars that you already have that back catalog, and you go and you create ebooks and white papers, or, you know, whatever it is that industry is most receptive to. You basically create that media for them, and then again turn it into a deliverable format where it's like, hey, we'll do, you know, whatever it is. You have it's like four link magnets a month, eight link magnets a month, etc. And then the acquisition strategy here is you just reach out to people who are running webinars and be like, hey, I made this ebook that's about this webinar. You can use it as a link magnet. Like, here it is, right? You can create these super easily again with these AI automation tools. Take the webinars, turn them into transcripts, take those transcripts, turn it into, like, you know, these bolded lists, et cetera. And then, you know, format it into a PDF that's branded for them. And then for them, you basically show your work before they're even working with you. And then say you offer this as a service. If they're interested in it, you can jump on a discovery call. And then again, talk about how you're driving leads for these companies that are running webinars on LinkedIn. That's going to be the distribution channel here. You can use that organic strategy that we talked about earlier, where it's like LinkedIn posts with some type of link or some type of lead magnet. When you like comment to get the lead magnet, that creates your own leads for you. I would just focus on webinar marketing, like get my access to my webinar marketing guide. That's how people are just trying to figure out, how do I get more people to show up to it? That's their measurement of success typically at the company that they're working at. I think this is a really easy and powerful one. And it also, like, it's content repurposing, right? Like you're basically taking this like rotting fruit and you're turning it into juice for them that you can, they can make more money off of this thing that they've already had sunk costs into.
Yeah. And I know a bunch of people listening to this are their eyes are glazing over because they hear the word webinar and they're like, webinar, like even though you have stats here saying that webinars are big, they're like, no. But I'm seeing like a lot of like the Gen Z, like Instagram, TikTok people creating webinars, you know?
Oh, 100%.
So, right? Like,
It's the best for agencies. And I don't think people realize this, but like you giving away free educational information that shows deep expertise is one of the most valuable things you can do to get people to like trust you and do your product, right? Like, and use your product or use your service. Because it's funny, like for high ticket stuff, like short form video is never going to sell a high ticket thing. I don't know why people even try. Like that is the wrong thing to be doing. Like if you're trying to sell something that's 3 to 5, you know, 5-10 grand plus a month, there's 0% chance you're going to sell it through short video. You might be able to use short video to get top of funnel into like your like long form content, but just going short to that purchase is never going to happen. Webinars can be that bridge, and they also can be incredibly powerful. Like we ran this when I was at Rupa Health. We grew this email newsletter on the back of the podcast, and then we started promoting the webinars through it. I mean, we would get 6,000 people to basically register for these like classes that we were hosting on a weekly cadence, and we get 1,000 people to show up to these webinars, right? I mean, it's insane. And all the webinar was like literally, here's how to like do this lab test that like we offer within the product. It was like basically a demo of how to use the product, right? It's crazy. I think that is the thing that like people don't realize is it creates this. It's an educational format. You're providing free education. People love free education.
Totally. Builds trust, awesome. Baby. All right, let's do the last idea.
data analytics agency popped off recently. I'm not sure why, but just like, I think it's just because more and more data is becoming available. But the opportunity here, I think people are just sitting on ridiculous amounts of data and they have no idea what it is, right? And I've seen so many of these like videos now where it's like people are like plugging into, you know, maybe it's their Instagram analytics or it's their Google analytics with these like MCPs and then chatting with it to try to like extract insights. And I think that there's an opportunity to go and basically create an agency like on top of this AI tooling, because it's easier than ever to like basically build out these dashboards. All you have to do is convert that raw data into information and into insights for them. And so I think how I would probably structure this is like, it's unlimited data analytics for like SMBs, you know, something like that, for like a set cost per month. And then whatever questions they have, you can just ask you. And then you use these tools to go and build out these dashboards or get these insights for them, get that data extracted from whatever data set that they have. So again, I think there's like the off the shelf generic tooling, like Claude with the MCP stuff. You can now connect a ChatGPT to this as well. You can also learn stuff like Looker Studio or like Tableau or Power BI. The problem is that the learning curve on those are like really aggressive. So it's going to take some time, but all of that content is available on YouTube. So you could go and find it. Or you could use this new product that we just released this week. It's called graph.com. Basically how it functions is like, it's one of these business intelligence tools, but you just connect a data source or upload a CSV, and then you can convert that into dashboards, into insights, you know, based off of whatever the data source is that you provided. So here's an example, here's the chat, etc. But yeah, man, that's the last one. I think there's a huge opportunity just to tell people about their businesses and like the health of their companies. And more people are realizing like they're trying to be data, like, data decision makers, database decision makers. But they just don't know how to do, especially if they're like a founder, right? Like if you're a local business and say you run like, you know, 10 like swimming, like child swimming locations, right? Like you're trying to understand like, what is my cash flow? What's my P&L, et cetera. You could offer all of these services to basically analyze their QuickBooks, like look at like, you know, what is their current customer count from their CRM, et cetera, and provide those answers. And I think that what it would end up being is like, you're just in like a Slack channel with them or a message where they like ask you a question and then you respond back as quickly as you can, basically with that information, and then build out these reports with these KPIs that you do reporting on a weekly cadence. I want to ask you, like, what are you most excited about right now? Cause like, you know, I just talked for like a fucking hour about all this stuff that we're seeing, but I'm curious, like, what is the number one thing, so I can download that from you, that you're excited about right now, that like with everything that's happening in this space?
I think right now, I just saw, you know, as of recording this, that OpenAI is launching, I think they're launching basically agents that go and browse for you. And we saw the tip of the iceberg with ChatGPT Operator with that. But I'm very excited about actually having agents go out and do things for you, like actually. Like I feel like there's been a lot of vaporware in the AI agent space. And it's been close. Like a lot of the products have been really close. So I'm excited about products that can actually get you the last mile. So I've been, you know, this isn't just ChatGPT, but I've been spending a lot of time trying to figure out which AI agent platforms can actually get you to the last mile, and then trying to actually set up those workflows. So that's what I've been spending the last few days just kind of figuring out.
Dude, I love it, man. Have you played with Perplexity Comet yet? It's the first time where I'm like, damn, this is actually how I want to interact with the internet now. Cause like, I'm basically doing this in Perplexity where I'm like back and forth between tabs, but it's just this like sidebar that can, as an example, like one I saw recently that I was like, shit, this is so good. Is it basically goes to your LinkedIn, it accepts the request, and then it sends them a message that you tell it to send. And then it like does that. You can set it so it's recurring. So it's like every morning check to see who's cool and like accept that basically, but have that for any of the tasks that you used to have to use like an automation tool for. You can now just do that in the browser. And that was like the first aha moment that I saw with this, where I'm like, damn, this is going to totally change, I think, how we also separate from this, but it feels related. I'm finding myself more and more wanting to like talk to everything. Like, I want to be able to talk to websites to ask it questions about its service offering. Like, I don't like, give me like this voice agent that is trained on everything that you know, or that the like everything that it knows about the company, and allow for me to interact with that rather than like having to read or talk to a human. I don't know if that's something that like that you've seen, but like I'm just finding myself, I'm using Super Whisper more and more, like for all of my kind of communication. And I'm just finding myself more and more wanting to interact with the internet in that way. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, do apps just go away? Like, is it just like a repository of information that I like have a conversation with and like tell my agent to compare against? And like, they have their own, like, you know, 5-threaded conversation simultaneously to figure out what's the best solution for me. It feels totally related to what you're talking about. But
I mean, that makes sense if you think about it, because if technology is no longer dumb and becomes essentially these like people, these like digital people that we can interact with, of course, as human beings, it's human nature to want to speak to other people, you know? I was playing with Grok 4's companion.
so spicy.
But it's just like you can tell like that's where the world is going. Like, websites are gonna talk back to you, apps are gonna talk back to you, you're gonna have digital avatars that are gonna talk back to you, and this is like for better and for worse. But I think that you're by the way, there's like a startup idea right there, which is like, just go and help make companies voice first. Like, go and 100%. Just like set this stuff up for them. Like, go and build, like, you know, use Vappy or yep. a voice agent, you know, platform, and just go and set this stuff up for them.
Can I tell you, I gotta tell you, this is the last thing and then we'll jump, but we're testing with this right now. So my brother's in the medical space, and they like, it's what they do is very specific. There's a lot of questions that people need answered before they basically are like buyer ready. And so what he's been testing is, he made a huge document with all the information related to what they do. And then they made a voice agent that people can call on the phone that answers all of the questions that somebody could ever ask. So if they tried to go and train a human to do this, it would be impossible. Like, there's so much information that's specific to this that it would be extremely hard to get a person to be like competent enough to answer all of these like questions that people would have related to the service. And so the agent is actually doing something that like a human could never do. And it's trained basically to be incredibly just like educational, like not focus on sales whatsoever, just like answer all the questions. And then what they're finding is people are basically talking with this thing for like 20 minutes. And they're like, okay, cool. Like, I want to do this. Like, what are next steps? And then it transfers them to a call center where a real human answers. And then they like book the, you know, the meeting, right? Or book the appointment. And just seeing that happen, I'm like, holy shit. Like, it feels like a whole new unlock. Like, this used to be impossible. Now we can actually do this. And then the other thing that I just talked to a friend who's running an AI voice agent company for restaurants. It like takes orders. It like sends them the payment link. It like puts it into their POS. Like, if they're using Toast or whatever, they're growing crazy fast. And what he told me is, he's having companies ask for them to like make characters around the voice agent. So for example, it's like a bagel company in like New York, right? And they want it to sound like the original owner. So they have these voicemails from the original owner who talks in this like thick, like, you know, New York accent basically. And they want to use these voice agents as a way to brand the company. Another example is, it was like a New Jersey pizza company. Same thing. They like want it to sound like, you know, you're ordering a pie like in the facility, right? They want it to feel like the brand, like it's a representation of the brand. And that is just crazy to me to think about. Like, imagine, you know, the Wimbledon thing that just happened, where it's like this, like, you know, AI avatar who went to Wimbledon and like it's not a real person. Imagine if you could call that and be like, yo, how was your experience? Like, what was your favorite part? Or like, and it has this like story that it could basically tell you, or like it's like a, you know, it, this lore or origin story. Like, then take that idea, apply that to brands, apply that to companies. I think there's a huge opportunity in that alone if you're trying to figure out how to build a business or a company. So,
well, yeah, because those voice agents today, they don't have they're not human. Like they're, you know what I mean? They
don't have the sauce, man.
They don't have the sauce. So.
They don't have the personality, right? Yeah. And like, that's like, I don't know. You call like whatever Papa J's pizza and it's like Papa J answers. Exactly.
And make up your mind.
Exactly. He's like, all as me. We don't do no onions.
Yeah. Basically, we need mean voice AI agents. Exactly. Just really mean agents.
Exactly. But again, I think that is, I mean, people are asking for this. It's a natural evolution. And I think there's so much context that can be portrayed and conveyed within voice that is so much harder to write out. Like if you were trying to write out, you know, all of that, like it would be impossible. But all of that, context can be conveyed when it's just a voice communicating to you. So
I love it, man. All right. Well, dude, thanks for coming on, sharing the sauce. I'll include links to get to know you more. That's going to be in the show notes for people who want to follow Cody's journey with Graft and all the other products that you're building. So, all right, cool. Cody, later.
Thank you, brother. We'll see you soon.